Hello, sisters. Sister Amon from don'tperish.com, and guess who else is here?
Hey, how's it going? I'm still here.
Yeah, we're just wrapping up for the night. Got a lot of things done, and...
What a day it was.
Oh, it was. It was awesome. Awesome day for the Lord. It was actually a really pretty sunny... Started out cool, and then it was like...
Cool and crisp. It was beautiful and sunny. Then it ended up cool and crisp again, and now it's a beautiful, calm... Nice evening.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. We're thankful for this weather, especially in the van life.
Yeah, amen.
We don't take it for granted.
Neutral weather is good in van life.
Right. Right. So I thought I would do some thoughts of the day sharing, and Brother Tupos can jump in on any of this that he wants to. I just have some random thoughts and things that go through my mind, and I think it might be nice to share with you. So I was just thinking last night... Were we on a level spot or a slopey spot?
Oh, it was slopey.
Yeah, it was. It was to the point where I'd pull a drawer open and it would slide shut.
Yeah, it was pretty slopey.
It was, you know, and it's something, I guess, you know, before we went in the van life here, I never even thought of something like that. You know, you just take for granted a bed that's always flat, level. Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't even think of something like that. So we've kind of gotten used to it. It's not something that we prefer.
It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it is. We just, you know.
We get a spot and we go, it's level, yay.
Yeah, we laugh about a lot of things because what else are you going to do? I mean, I don't want to be a grumbler or a complainer like they were in Israel.
Yeah, we are getting free spots where they allow us to camp. So
right,
we're at a park.
Right, and we're free to serve the Lord. So that's the biggest thing. But while I was thinking about it, I got a note that says sleeping at a slope.
Sleeping on a slope.
Yeah, it just kind of makes me laugh. It made me think about how, you know, especially us out here in the van life, we don't have anywhere to go. And not like a permanent spot. It made me think of Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. But I looked up that meaning of continuing, and it means to stay, abide, continue, remain. And for us out here, there's really no place to just abide or remain. You know, we always got to keep moving. And I was thinking about this for you sisters too. You know, even if you live in a house or whatever dwelling you live in and it's not moving all the time, you know, even though it may be a permanent place or maybe you got to move from one place to another, whatever, this is not where we're going to be. This is not our continuing, remaining, abiding place, because what do we have? We have this promise that's set before us of eternal life with our Heavenly Father if we endure. So that's the one we're going to work, well, we're going to do our good works here, yeah. And then we get to rest there. And I was thinking about Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And I guess I was just thinking about here, you know, we have to keep going physically and doing our good works and waiting for that continuing city to come, which will be in eternity and the promises that are set before us. But in the meantime of all this, we can have rest for our soul.
Amen.
As we're going through this on the physical earth. And let's see. This was, you said you were going to... Brother Tupo said something on his latest audio, I think it was yesterday, something about letting go of this world.
Yeah, I was doing a verse-by-verse study, and I was sharing with people in the book of James that talks to us about asking for wisdom and striving for truth. And I just shared at the end of the audio how I felt like encouraging people, younger people, middle-aged people, that the longer you walk with the Lord, I feel like it gets easier because you get more complete. That's what it was about. It was about being perfect. The word perfect came in. And then being that perfect really means complete and mature. And as you become more complete and more mature in the Lord, the more you live and the older you get, the closer to eternity you know that you are, meaning your life is leaving you. You only have so many years left, that you live for the kingdom of God even more and you let go of this life even more.
Right.
So, you know, when you're 20, you're holding on to the world. When you're 30, maybe a little bit less. When you're 50, maybe a little less. When you're 85, you know your time is short. And if you're a believer, you're looking forward to the next kingdom to come with all that you are. And
right.
So that's how I feel, is that the longer I go, the more my eyes and my heart, my mind is set on the city that you're talking about.
Continuing
and we're looking
city, yeah.
For. And I think of the incorruptible versus corruptible.
Right.
So everything around me I see is all corruptible, and I'm seeking that which is incorruptible.
Right.
Yeah,
I like that. And I was pondering that today. And like Brother Tupo said, you know, as we get older, everything means less and less. And I know when you're younger, you kind of worry about the future and everything in between. And when you get older, you see how much a lot of that stuff in between doesn't matter. And it does take experience. And that's where, you know, listening to the older who have walked there first, and maybe you don't understand it, but it's something to put in your mind and have the Lord help you understand as you're going through this walk. Yeah. If you're younger, like, and we're talking whether it be younger in the Lord, but even sometimes younger in the flesh, because you haven't experienced as much.
I think of Solomon. What did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? As he got older and he had everything he could ever want material-wise, and he said, it's all vanity.
Right.
And he saw it was all fading away and somebody else is going to have all my stuff.
Oh, I know.
And that's the wisdom that comes as you're made perfect and you mature and you're just letting go of this world, letting go of this life. Losing this life, Matthew 10.
Right. It's like dung, Philippians 3:8. My favorite verse I love to go to. Yeah. So just wanted to warn you, younger sisters, don't get swept away and all that stuff. Or Amen. Older ones, whatever, any of us, really. Because, you know, it's easy to get rid of stuff. But it's really easy to get swept back into it, and so we have to be really careful about that. And I was thinking about getting swept away in things. I don't know why this one came up. Oh, I do know why. And you'll probably, I don't know what you want to say about this, but this came up recently, and I wanted to warn younger sisters who are raising children, you know, we have to be very careful when you're raising children that they don't become idols, because what we see is a lot of parents are changing their lives for their children as their children grow.
Yeah, that's
true. And the lives are changing instead of the children being fit into the lives of the parents. And we just had an example of this, testing some false teachers.
The children become too much of a focus and a center point, whereas they should just become an addition.
Yeah, because, you know, they're not ours.
Yeah.
They're not yours. They're God's.
Yeah.
And they may hate God someday.
Yeah, they're not yours. They are the Lord's. And so, we can't let them be more than that which they are. They're a part of the family. And if they come up to be believers, they're a part of the body, but they're nothing more. And we see a lot of children idolatry going on.
Right. And I was thinking, you know, you don't want to make yourself part of them and you don't want to make them part of you.
Yeah.
You know, meaning who you are, part of your being. You don't want it to be that way.
They're just something that you're passing through, they're passing through.
Right, because we've lost ours.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I've lost all mine. And, you just have to be willing to, you have to realize, you have to set your mind on things above and for Christ. And when it says loving not the things of this world, we have to be careful.
That's your family and friends and unbelievers. And Jesus said, if you don't hate them versus loving me, you're not worthy of me.
Right.
Meaning, not literally hate them, but love him so much more than you love them.
You have to be willing to be set free to just go serve him.
Forsake.
Forsake.
That's a word nobody wants to talk about. Forsake your sin, forsake your life, forsake your friends and family, even maybe forsake your own children. If they grow up and don't want the Lord and they don't want you, you have to forsake them and go on.
Right. You can't let that destroy your life.
No. Amen.
Yeah, so just some things to ponder, sisters, you know.
Amen. Children are a blessing. Don't make them more than they are.
Right. Amen. And the only other thing I had was about us going out and flying signs and
sharing the gospel.
Oh, it
was awesome today. Yeah. We just went out. I talked to a young, talk about young to old. I talked to a 23-year-old young man who's an archaeologist. He walked up to me on the sidewalk. I handed him a gospel card. We talked for 2 hours. And we talked about the gospel and religions, different religions. We talked about evolution. We talked about atheism. We talked about so much. And he got so much truth, and he really intently listened, and he really thanked me. And it was awesome, and I was so glad that God put me right in his path. And then I got to witness to Sister Amon was talking to him. He came up to her, and then he later waited for me.
I wanted to interject something in there. So Brother Tupos is talking to this young man, and
The man I was talking about was a home fellowship man.
Oh, the second one,
The second man, the one you're going to talk about.
Yeah. So Brother Tupos is talking to this young man, and I was way down on another corner, and I saw him talking for quite a while, and I was kind of wandering back and forth.
We always stayed where we could see each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after a while, I wandered down there and said hi, and I handed out a couple gospel cards while Brother Tupos was talking to him, and then I ended up going back across the street, and this man walked up to me, and I was going to give him a gospel card. He goes, oh, no, I know what your website is. I saw it. I remember it. And he started talking to me, and he was talking about biblical things, and he asked me a couple questions, and we were just on the other side of the corner, and right where Brother Two Posts was.
I saw you right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and this man, he was talking and talking and
older
talking.
Older man, very polite.
Yeah, yeah, and there was people walking around. And when I say that, okay, for me, several minutes is a point of me going, okay, now I start evaluating the situation, wondering what is the appropriate actions that I should be doing as a godly woman, you know, speaking with another man. And obviously, you could tell he's claiming the Lord because he was speaking of right. biblical
things.
And
he was knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable, yeah. And he was just sharing about himself and his wife. And that his wife is not where he was. And he was asking a few questions about us. And then I did several times reference and say, my husband would, oh, he would love to talk to you about all this. And then at one point I said, well, you're kind of going into some doctrines, because he asked me a question about some things. And I said, you're kind of going into doctrines that me as a godly woman, I need to follow the scriptures. I don't really want to talk about that. And I said, my husband, he would be so happy to talk to you about that. I really want you to contact him. And our email is on our website. And he said, okay, thank you, thank you. And he was very polite. And then you were still talking to that young man for a long time.
Yeah, for an hour after that still.
Yeah.
And this man never walked up to us, otherwise I would have talked to him. He was just cruising the area.
Yeah, and we found that out later as we were putting everything in the van. He showed up and
he
said, I know you're talking to that young man for a couple hours because I was waiting. He was walking around.
That was awesome. And him and I had a great talk, and it was very edifying. So you handled it perfectly, and that's a good thing to do. He saw a good witness, and there you go. If someone really wants to talk about the things of God, they will seek you out. They'll wait for you. They'll email you. They'll call you. We put ourselves out there. It's up to the people then to say, hey, I want to talk about that. And
right.
So we bring the food. It might be kind of gross, but we bring the food, but you don't chew it up and spit it in people's mouth. They have to come, and they have to want to partake of it.
Right. Right. What made me think about this man while I was talking to him is I had just done a post earlier this morning with a little tiny audio in it, and then I of a witnessing thing that I had with a man that was talking to me, and I... Brother Two posts that it might be a good teaching lesson.
Yeah.
And so I did a quick post on the sisters area about witnessing to men and some thoughts, and then an older video I put on there about how I dealt with a Roman Catholic man that wanted to talk too. And I was thinking about this man too, and I'm always conscious to try to be a good witness. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I don't want to sound like I'm rude or afraid of a situation.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you, sisters, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And you'll know what to do, and through the situations, you'll understand it. And I'm really glad that I didn't try to cut it short too fast.
Right.
Because he might have thought something different,
you know,
we're too busy or something. Yeah. And I'm just talking, it was several minutes, you know, it wasn't like it went on for 10 or 15 minutes,
right.
But it was enough to the point where he must've felt comfortable and he really wanted to talk to Brother Two Posts because he came back. So
yeah, it was awesome. He was a home fellowship man. He said he couldn't find a church in that area and he just strives and continues on. So he has my email. I'm hoping he contacts me so we can encourage each other. So that was awesome. Perfect place, perfect time.
Oh, and here's another one. While you were witnessing to that young man, I think it was after I talked to that man we were just talking about and I came over, a younger woman comes walking by and she goes, God is good all the time. And she ran across the street and she was...
Kind of flipping about it, I thought.
Yeah, she was. She didn't look like a sister.
You're right, yeah.
But maybe she's brand new or something. And when she came back, I was like, oh, okay, I wonder if she'll take a gospel card. And I handed one out to her, and she actually stopped, and she asked me a few questions, and I shared with her. And she said, is your email on there? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, well, I'm going to have to go back, and we're traveling or something like that. We'll be back in the area. She goes, I'm going to have to look you up. So
nice.
she wasn't mocking.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I offered her that card. You know, you can maybe mistake some people if you're not careful. And we've learned
that. Yeah, don't always judge a book by its cover.
Right.
We know that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. We know that. That's true. And we know a tree by its fruit. But sometimes we don't know where that tree is, if that is even a tree yet. It could be seeds are just being planted in a person. They might just be seeking. Sometimes the most worldly people end up being the ones that seek more than anything.
Oh, right.
You know, worldly looking.
And you never know when God might put something in them at the last second, you know, to stop maybe a conviction or something of, oh, like even if it was a mocker, they might say something. And then I'm thinking about one couple years ago when we were preaching outside, we were on outside of a fence while everybody was on the inside. And this man held up this cross.
Yeah.
And Brother Two Posts really kicked in the preaching on, he was calling people out of their sins. And this man was so convicted.
Yeah, he turned around and he was mad.
Yeah, but then he ended up listening, and the next day he hunted us down
to talk more. And the next day
we're
walking, and I hear, Brother James, Brother James. And I'm like, Brother James? I turn around, it was him. He lost our gospel card. He wanted another one. He was a Catholic man. And yeah. He said, I really have to go deeper into Scripture. So the Word of God cut him, and he responded well.
Right, but at first he wasn't very nice about it. No. So, yeah, we always try to stay neutral about things, I guess. Yeah. So we just kind of weigh on that topic, yeah.
I think what I would say is what Jesus said, be careful not to judge by appearance, the outward appearance, because that can be very deceptive.
Right. Let people show their fruit.
We have to make sure that we make a righteous judgment. And the best way you can make a righteous judgment about a person is don't judge by their appearance. Talk to them for a while. And when you hear what comes out of their heart and their mouth, now you can say, that's where they are. They might say, I hate God. Now you know. They might say, I'm seeking. Now you know.
Or they might do a flippant comment and then come back and feel bad about it.
Yeah. So be careful on judging on appearance and make sure we judge righteously. I was telling Sister Amon real quick, I think it's funny. I think a lot of people see me walking around with my tunic on, and I think I'm clean. I know I'm clean, but I probably look like maybe one of the homeless people walking around in just drab clothing or whatever. And I think they look at me and go, get a job. And sometimes they see me walk up to our van or they see me doing other things. And I think I see people and they probably go, judged that wrong. Thought he was a homeless guy in the corner. I'm holding a bag on the corner, taking some food to a homeless guy, and they go, look at the homeless bum, get a job. Yeah. And they see me walk up to we have a nice little van, and they go, he's not a homeless guy. And so very careful not to judge by appearance on the outside.
Right. And don't let that, mainly the whole point would be not to let it hinder you offering the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
You know, we don't want to be fearful about it, and we don't want to withhold it from somebody unless we're sure, you know, they will definitely throw it on the ground if they already have.
Ezekiel 33, offer the truth, sound the alarm as a watchman on the wall.
I just read that yesterday in my audio.
And then whoever either doesn't hear it, doesn't do anything, you are not held accountable for it.
Right. And while we're talking about this, I just wanted to say this was a really, really nice little downtown.
Yeah.
And there was cars all over. And when we drove through, we got here later yesterday. We just kind of drove through to see what it would be like. Yeah. And there wasn't really hardly anybody around, but it doesn't matter. All the cars were driving through. And I was like, this is awesome. I never dreamed that all of a sudden, you know, you just be out there witnessing or flying signs and people just walk by and you can give them.
Well,
I gave a couple of like homeless looking people gospel cards as they went by.
They got gospel cards. There were some homeless people there. I said it all the time. I said it today. I'll say it again. We preach at events where there's thousands of people. We stand outside religious places. If somebody asked me, where's the best witnessing episode you've ever had? I would say it's when I go out and do one-on-one witnessing.
I love it.
We stand on the street and people walk up to us. It is probably the most, I don't know if it's the most productive because I don't know what people are doing with everything, but it's sometimes the most rewarding and most meaningful and most heartfelt one-on-one with people. And Jesus had a lot of encounters like that, and Paul went into the marketplaces and preached to everybody. So there's all different ways to do it, but we get a lot of good responses by just going out, holding signs, the cars see it, people walk up, and they want to talk.
Right, and I always trust that the Lord, if He has somebody there, they'll be coming up to us, or we'll cross paths or something somehow, so we just be willing.
And there's always a lot of very hurting people out in the world, the people that are full of sin, they're full of pain, they're full of brokenness. Look at that man I just met not long ago. Car was broke down, his daughter, 18 years old, had just died, he just came out of surgery, and he's struggling with life, and here comes the street preacher, and praise God, we were able to help him get his car started, we were able to bless him. He got the gospel, he got encouragement, and he was so thankful to hear from us. So God puts us in those places where there's people that are hurting. They need to be called out of their sin. They need to be shown the hope and the light and the truth.
Right. Well, I've shared with the sisters, you know, when I go check out and stuff, a lot of crabby checkout ladies, you know, just having a bad day or, you know, oftentimes if you're working at a checkout counter, you might be having a lot of issues, you know, financially or things like that. You never know. Yeah. And so when I offer them a gospel card, they like really brighten up and so we can offer the hope out there. So
reminds me of a quick story. My father told me a story a long time ago. My father was an agnostic. He told me a story a long time ago. Him and my mom were broke down on the highway in the wintertime. Their car broke down. And for 3 hours, they were stuck on the highway in like almost like a blizzard-like condition or a cold condition. And nobody stopped to help them. One guy stopped to help him, a guy on a motorcycle. My dad said it was so cold, he's on a motorcycle. The guy comes walking up to the door, covered in tattoos, looked like a biker, knocked on the window, and he said, "Can I help you folks?" And my dad just cracked the window, and he said, "We're broke down. Could you call the police and call a tow truck?" And he said, "I don't have a phone, but I'll go to the next place." And that guy drove up and helped them, and he was the only guy, a biker, covered in tattoos, willing to help them. And that really impressed my dad. So watch out for judging by appearance.
Right, right. And just be ready and willing to share it with anybody.
Yeah, today was an awesome day.
Yeah, it was. Praise God for that. So I think that's about all I had for notes and just sharing. So,
yeah.
All right, well.
I like doing these. They're enjoyable.
Yeah. All right, sisters. Going to let you go. This kind of went on for quite a while, but that's all right.
Go out, have a joyous day. Seek the kingdom.
All right, we love you. Hold fast.
God be praised.